The Science of the First Person, Its Principles, Practice, and Potential, by Douglas Harding. Prologue. The purpose of this book is to place, in an uncompromisingly modern and Western setting, the essential teaching and goal of spiritual religion, called awakening or enlightenment or liberation. I aim to show how accurately this ancient pre-scientific wisdom dovetails into the contemporary science-dominated scene, once that wisdom has been stripped of its traditional embellishments and sectarian oddities and holy language. While allowing that our modern science is valid and indeed indispensable as far as it goes, I claim that the ancient wisdom goes much further, that it is in a real sense more scientific and more sensible than science, as we know it, could ever be, and is in fact its practical and theoretical complement. In other words, I shall maintain that Western objective science is only half of real science, the other half being the science of the subject or first person, and that we are in trouble because we mistake it for the whole. Our aim here is to start correcting this mistake, and to present enlightenment in a form that the science-minded Westerner can make sense of and put into immediate practice. First, then, let us briefly notice the procedure of ordinary science, the science of the observed, of the object or third person, Science 3 for short. Then let us compare it with the procedure of its complement, the science of the observer, of the subject or first person, Science 1 for short, and go on to supply numerous illustrations of how, in detail, Science 1 rectifies and completes Science 3, 37 of them to be precise. Science 3, the science of the observed. Science as we know it is concerned with the structure and behavior of the phenomena that make up the objective universe. Its aim is to find out precisely what goes on at the various observational levels, the horizontal links at each level, and the vertical links between levels. It attempts to account for the configuration of present phenomena in terms of their past, to predict their future, and to indicate, wherever possible, how they may be controlled and put to human use. The amazing success of this procedure of Science 3 has in the past been largely due to the scientist's knack of keeping himself out of the picture. But he doesn't thereby dispose of himself. The most he does is apply his habitual objective procedure to himself as subject, and make an object or third person of himself. But this isn't being candid. He's pretending to be the very opposite of what he really is. No way can he avoid being the first person that demands a science of its own. Science 1, the science of the observer. This science requires its practitioner to do exactly what Science 3 forbids, to put himself back in the picture and take his subjectivity seriously. Here is a procedure so revolutionary, its subject matter so unique, its results so remarkable, that they constitute an altogether novel kind of science. This is only to be expected. As the first person is to the third, so are their respective sciences to each other. In every particular, Science 1 is the polar opposite of Science 3, yet it contradicts nothing, undoes nothing. Instead, it carries to its proper conclusion the immense work already done. In no sense is it anti-scientific. Rather, it is ultra-scientific or meta-scientific, and its procedure is simply this. By turning his attention through 180 degrees and viewing himself as he is to himself, Scientist 1 is at last in a position to remove the basic anomalies of Science 3, and simultaneously to solve his own basic problems, the problems of life. Footnote. Wittgenstein says of Science 3, "We feel that when all possible scientific questions have been answered, the problems of life remain completely untouched." These are bold assertions. The supporting evidence follows. But first, you must qualify yourself to read on, for the science of the first person will make no sense till you see what the first person is. At this point in the book, Harding asks the reader to open the folded paper tunnel inserted into the book. You will need to make a paper tunnel yourself, about a foot long, each end the size of your face. You can make it from a large piece of paper. Harding continues. Fit your face into one end of the tunnel and hold the other up against your bathroom mirror. What you see behind glass at the far end is yourself as third person, and what you see right here at the near end is yourself as first person. Could they be more different? The face there and the space here that's taking it in. Back now to our prologue. To remind yourself of your first personhood as you read on, all you have to do is stop overlooking the aware emptiness that's your side of these black marks on white paper, taking them in. My asking you to do this is a reasonable requirement. To engage in a scientific discipline while refusing to carry out any of the laboratory tests on which it is based would be somewhat futile. In the case of Science 1, it would probably do more harm than good. The quotations from the mystics and masters are printed as footnotes and not in the text, in order to emphasize that they form no part of the present argument and are certainly not cited as authoritative. They are intended only to illustrate the antiquity and universality of Science 1. Scientist 1 tests the scriptures by experience, not experience by the scriptures.